Today's opening tip, Chris Chiosa broke Terrence Davis's ankles but wasn't able to make the shot. So if you miss the shot, does it count? That's basically what we need to know, Chauncey.
In today's game, that counts because he's going to have that on his Instagram, but he's not going to have the shot.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing, though. I feel like if you don't make the shot, we can't talk about it.
I don't.
That's okay. Edit out the shot.
See, everyone can do that now on their phone. It's like it never happened. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols back in our Los Angeles studios. And look, my socially distanced friends, I am so happy to be back in the same room with you.
We gotta do this.
I know.
We gotta do this.
You could be 100 feet away and this smile would still be on my face because after months of everybody in little boxes, this is fantastic. So I am thrilled that we have some all-time greats with us. 2004 Finals MVP, Chauncey Billups, and of course the six-time champ Hall of Famer, Scottie Pippen. Welcome, gentlemen. Coming up, guys, the Heat star Bam Adebayo is going to join us. He'll discuss being a finalist for Most Improved Player, how Jimmy Butler has changed the Heat as well, and expectations for the Heat in these playoffs. I'll give you a hint. It starts with L. The middle initial is O. The last initial is B. Just saying. That's later. First, though, Anthony Davis all over the court for the Lakers last night as they evened up the series with the Blazers at one game apiece. Now, remember, he had a rough shooting night in game one. This time, Davis dropped a game-high 31 points, 13 for 21 from the field. Also of interest is how effective he was at the center position last night. According to ESPN Stats and Info, the Lakers outscored the Blazers by 15 in the 15 minutes in which Davis played the five. Second Spectrum adds that Portland shot 5 for 22 from the field in the minutes that Davis was at center. So made an impact on both sides of the floor. Scotty, why does AD playing center change so much for the Lakers?
Well, he's a tough matchup. I mean, first of all, there's no one can match up with him on any team. But when you put him at the five, it's such an advantage because of his speed, his ability to play outside, opens up the lane for LeBron to be able to get into the paint and make plays. But, you know, seems to me like he wants to be more of a perimeter shooter. So I think playing that five position gives him a huge advantage.
Yeah, for me, I got to give Frank Vogel a lot of credit for making a game-to-game adjustment. Mm-hmm. And here's what I mean. You play AD at the five as opposed to the four. Game one, you're playing JaVale and AD, okay? Mm-hmm. That allows the Portland Trailblazers to play Nurkic, Whiteside at times. That's 4 7-footers-footers on the floor.
Yeah.
For AD, there's nowhere to really go. Mm-hmm. Now you go and put one, and he let him play the five. It takes 2 7-footers-footers off of the floor defensively for Portland. Now AD can move and groove, and you can space those shooters out. He got a ton of space to roam, and that changed up the way that series looked yesterday.
I mean, it's interesting. I've talked to Anthony a lot about playing at the five versus the four, and he says over and over, I don't mind doing it. I just don't want to do it all the time, to the point that especially during an 82-game regular season, I just get so beat up, and we've seen his injury history and all of that. Frank Vogel has said that Anthony has volunteered at times. He even said at halftime of a big game that they were losing, hey, put me in at the five. I think that'll work better, that sort of thing. Scotty, how much should a guy, is it something they should still use in spots, or from now on in the playoffs, should he just be starting at the five? How much, if it's not a position that he wants to play all the time but is happy to play some of the time, how much is some of the time?
Well, I think some of the time is important. I mean, especially when you're playing with a guy like LeBron James. Let's not forget how versatile LeBron is.
Right.
I mean, he can play anywhere from one to five as well. But when you're able to play LeBron James as a four and play Anthony Davis as a five, there's not too many teams in this league can match up with those two players, especially at those positions. It puts a lot more speed out on the floor, and it gives LeBron that lane that he wants, that open lane with four shooters out on the court, because he's a dominant player himself. And I think for AD, playing him at the five, it takes that second 7-footer off the court, as Chauncey said, and allows him to work. And also, he's a better rebounder when he plays at the five. He can get in there and get offensive rebounds, which the Lakers need.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with him. I mean,
as a coach, how do you manage that, right? If a guy says, I don't want to do it all the time, but I want to do it, do you at some point say, it's the playoffs, young man, you're just doing it?
That's exactly where I was going, Rach. I mean, that's good during the regular season. You worry about getting beat up and things like that. But as you well know, Scotty, this is the playoffs. Every game counts. Getting beat up is all a part of it. But that's the sacrifice that you make. And I'm quite sure that right now, AD's saying, I don't care what you play me at right now. This is go time. It's time to go try to win.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he is volunteering whatever we want, and then we'll see what they end up doing. All right, on the other side of that game were the Blazers. They lost Damian Lillard in the third quarter due to a dislocated index finger in his non-shooting hand. When asked about his status in Game 3, well, last night Lillard said, I'm playing. And today Coach Terry Stotts confirmed that, in fact, Dame will play. But he will likely be wearing a splint. So, Chauncey, how does Dame's injury change the series with the Lakers? I'm always fascinated when they say shooting hand. You use both hands when you are shooting.
You do, but I'll tell you what. The one thing I liked first and foremost about it is there won't be any discussion. He's playing in the game, and he did that to show the leadership. But anytime you have an injury to your best player, it's gonna have an impact on you. Yes, it's his offhand. But in this game, he dribbles a lot with his left hand. You play defense, you touch and you grab, you know, people. A defender guarding you is going to be slapping down on that hand. Like, it's something to worry about. It's going to be bothersome, but this is Dame Lillard. And he's going to come to play and he's going to be ready. I expect him to be great again. I mean, and that's just the toughness that he exudes.
Chance, I'm going to disagree because I've dislocated a lot of fingers playing in the playoff, playing in the regular season. And yes, if it on your shooting hand, it will affect you, but I see this being on his passing hand that it's not going to affect him. And I think Damon is playing with so much confidence and so much poise right now that he feels that he can beat the Lakers by himself. And I don't see that this injury is going to affect him at all as far as scoring the ball. What is going to affect him is the wear and tear that the Lakers are putting on him.
Right.
They're starting to wear him down. They're sending bodies at him. They're starting to fatigue him. And now that affects his offense.
Well, he's played a crazy amount of minutes. Remember, just to get here, right, they basically played 10 or 11 playoff games in a row, and Terry Stotts had no problem. Him and CJ, they were over 40 minutes. I mean, it was a lot. So I can see him getting tired. I'm interested in what you said about guys trying to slap the hand. How much, especially in the era you played in, but also certainly in the early 2000s.
I just know
90s,
me.
Like, what would you do to a guy if you found he had dislocated fingers?
I just know me, you know. I want any advantage that I can get.
So what do you do? What would you do?
I'm going to be very physical. I'm going to be slapping that hand. I'm going to be pulling on. I'm going to be doing everything that I can because I know that if that was me, they would be doing the same thing to me. So it is what it is. It's just basketball.
Well, I mean, I think if you're the Lakers, it's got to be the game plan. It's got to be, hey, force him left. He's got a dislocated finger. Let's keep him going left. And, hey, if he go to the hole, we're going to give him hard fouls.
Yeah.
We're going to make him earn his points, or we're going to make him utilize his teammates to beat us.
Dame is up for the challenge. Make no mistake about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's Saturday night on ABC, too. So get ready for fight night. Last night, I spoke to Commissioner Adam Silver ahead of the draft lottery, and I asked him about the tentative start date of December 1st for next season. This is what the league has been floating out, December 1st, December 1st. Well, take a listen to what Adam had to say last night.
December 1, now that we're working through this season, is feeling a little bit early to me. I think our number one goal is to get fans back in our arenas. My sense is, in working with the Players Association, if we could push back even a little longer and it increased the likelihood of having fans in arenas, that's what we would be targeting.
So that's interesting, a very honest answer from Adam, which I really appreciate. And this idea of fans in the stands is something I know the owners of the NBA really want because a lot of the business model is built on having people in the seats. And I know that a lot of the players want it too. I mean, we've heard LeBron talk over and over about how much he misses the fans. Guys like Damian Lillard, they feed off the crowd, Russell Westbrook. But I guess for you guys as players, if the question is postpone, postpone, postpone until you can have fans, and frankly, we don't know when a bunch of fans are going to be allowed in an indoor space. This is different from football. This is different from baseball. Would you want to just wait until that's possible and knowing you wouldn't get paid, right? Until, because the games aren't being played, the money's not coming in the same way. Or would you want to try to push ahead with a model that didn't have fans but would get you guys back on the court and get those salaries going again?
I think it's tough, Rach. I really do. I mean, you're talking about one of the best two-way relationships in the world. I mean, the fans and the players, they both need and want each other to be in there. So, you know, it all depends on how far you have to push it back. But I do know fans are a big part of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know I never played in these games, so I don't know what it feels like other than playing in the summer and competing with your guys and the fellas. But I want to play in front of those fans. Yeah. You know, I enjoy that experience. Not only my home fans, but my road fans. I mean, that's a big part of this thing.
Yeah, and I think for the players, they miss all that. You know, not just the fans, but doing things with their family, with their friends, not having those people around, not having them as part of your career, as part of your life. That's what these players are used to. So, you know, whatever it takes, you know, to get the fans back in, I think it's going to be best for our game. But I will say that, you know, whenever we do get started, there's teams that's going to be out there that's been 10 months, you know, since they've been together.
Yeah.
So that's a long time to be trying to bring your team back together, especially the ones that haven't been in the bubble.
Yeah,
Rachel, and one thing we all know and believe, we believe in Adam Silver.
100%.
You know, and the way that he's vetted this thing out, you know that they're 10 steps ahead of what we've even thought about. And the successful restart that they're having now, I mean, we got so much equity built up in him that whatever he says, it's like, all right, let's do it. We'll be ready.
And the relationship, too, between Adam and the union and Adam and the owners, those relationships, those bridges are not always in great shape, and certainly not in the history of this league and not in other leagues. And yet, right now, those are strong bridges, right? Those are groups that want to work together. And I think part of what you hit on, Scotty, is like, how long is it going to be, right? And unfortunately, that's unknown. And I think Adam and the NBA and ownership and the union have been great about that, too. But is it talking about postponing till December 25th? Are we talking about postponing till mid-January? Are we talking about Martin Luther King Day start? Are we talking about a June start? When do we think we could get fans in the stands? And is it going to be 10 months, 12 months, 14 months since some of these teams have played? I think that's going to sort of change the dynamic as well. We will have to see. All right, guys, coming up, the Warriors landed the second overall pick in last night's lottery. Should they use that pick? Trade that pick? We're going to discuss on the other side of the break. You are watching The Jump.
The Jump is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Get your Michelob Ultra courtside tickets by tweeting hashtag UltraCourtside.
Let's take a look at today's Dream Makers, brought to you by Sprite. Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade announced the launch of the Social Change Fund. It is dedicated to investing in, supporting organizations that advocate for communities of color through long-term policy solutions, through community representation, and narrative change. So salute to Melo, CP3, and Dwayne. Melo told me they challenged all the athletes at the ESPYs. Now it's time for them to walk the walk, too. Now it's time for We'll Make or Miss.
Cue me in, do the clapping, and be like, action. It's a make or miss league.
Maybe a little more funny than that.
What am I make or missing? It's a make or miss league. Cut that.
Jimmy. Make footwork. Check out Giannis yesterday with his signature spin and dunk over Gary Clark. All right, Scotty, one of the greatest defenders the league has ever seen. How would you stop that?
Hard foul. On catch. Hard foul on catch.
Give them two wide open shots at the free throw line.
That's it.
That's how you do that.
And that is how it was done, old school, ladies and gentlemen. Miss, there's nothing more to say than that. Miss ceilings. Lakers always bringing out the stars to the game, even when it's virtual. Lil Wayne sitting courtside again last night. So, I don't know. They're doing pretty well with him sitting in that virtual seat. Chauncey,
should we give him a season ticket. Give him a digital fan season ticket.
Courtside.
Weezy F, baby, all day, every day at the games. For sure, he should be there.
All right. All right. I don't know, Scotty. Do you want a virtual Lakers seat?
I'm going to take a pass. Maybe in the finals.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll see who gets there. Make swag. Russell Westbrook. Rocking this maiden cutoff while being extremely active on the sidelines during the game yesterday.
You
digging the vibe here? What do you think, Scotty?
I love that coaching outfit. It's great.
Okay, Brody. Oh, I love it. That's so Russell Westbrook right there. He got his guns out. He's flexing.
How
he's
do you think the other coaches feel that they are now in a muscle competition with Russell Westbrook? This is not good for some of the coaches at the NBA. I don't want to name names, but I'm just saying.
They're going to lose that one, Rach.
There's been a lot of discussion about the coaches coaching in the polos, right, in the restart instead of having to be in full outfits. This may be a little too casual for the other coaches of the NBA to pull off. I think this is a Russ only sort of situation.
Bubble rules, that's all I'm going to say. Bubble rules are a little different.
Miss close range. So ESPN NBA Twitter posted this hypothetical contest of 30-foot shootouts between Dame Lillard and Steph. This was after Kenny Smith went on TV and said that he thought Dame had more range than Steph. Steph responded, "Are you kidding?" And then Trae Young joined in saying, "Can I join?" So, Scotty, would you like to see this happen, a 30-foot-plus shootout competition between Trae Young, Dame Lillard, and Steph?
Oh, I would love it. I mean, please, just tell me. I'm showing up, virtual, whatever. I want to see that.
All right, so you got Scotty Pippen. What about you, Trae? What about you, Chauncey?
I love it.
Would you go for it?
I love it. As long as Trae Young is not shooting on his home court that the horse competition was on.
I just
like
him.
I like him. He's going to be shooting that from half court. We know Dame is pulling from half. And Steph, come on. We already know.
So who wins?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Steph says it's him.
I'm going to try to sign up. I'm going to get in.
Right,
How about that? Get in.
There we go. Make trolling. The New York Knicks landed the 8th overall spot in the draft lottery yesterday. They actually went down in the order. Some expected a top pick for them, but not De'Aaron Fox. He had some fun with Knicks Twitter, posting a few digs, then a clip of his windmill dunk in MSG earlier this year.
Man,
Chance.
Did they pass him up or something? Like, what's up? What's going on here, D. Fox?
They did. I was going to say, I don't know if
everybody at the Knicks, man.
Pass him up.
Dang.
Your former team, Chance.
One of about 25.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
You were in demand.
I don't feel bad for your Knicks.
No?
At all. No.
No? There you go. Someday something good will happen to that team, but it wasn't last night. Let's stick with the draft lottery results, though. The Timberwolves won the lottery and the right to the first pick in the draft. So the Wolves ended the season with the league's third worst record. They'll be followed by the Warriors, who had, of course, the worst record. I want to take a look at some more lottery results, Chauncey. There's been some discussion about how the Warriors should approach this second overall pick. Should they trade it or keep it? So put on your GM hat here. What would you do?
They should turn over every single stone to see how sexy this number two pick could be. Who could we possibly go get out there? And worst comes to worst, if they can't get what they maybe would value, take Wiseman. If Wiseman is there, you get the Warriors are going to be really tough next year. But
yes,
you have your guys coming back. You got Wiggins there. And to have an athletic big that can catch, defend the rim, be a vertical threat, and maybe, you know, help defensively in pick and rolls, they're right back in the mix.
I think it'll be a great choice for them to try to get younger out of the draft. Obviously, Wiseman, them needing a big inside, he seems to be the guy that sort of fit the criteria that they need. So I like them trying to get better out of the draft, but it also gives them a chance to get a little younger as well.
I mean, look, Adrian Wojnarowski said last night that in his latest conversation with Bob Myers, they had talked about the window, right? The window for the Warriors is right now, the way those guys are on that roster and their age. So the idea of having a youngster that you got to bring along, a 19-year-old, didn't sound that appealing. If the number two pick on its own wasn't enough to fetch who you wanted, Chauncey, would you package that with someone already on the roster and try to really make a move for a guy who's more in their window on timeline?
You have to think about that, Rach. Mm-hmm. You have to think about it. You know, again, you have to turn over every stone. But I like the leadership there. With Draymond,
with
Steph. I like them bringing a young guy along, Scotty, and saying,
yes,
listen, you only have a couple things to do. Go get every rebound and block shots. Clean up my mistakes. We'll bring you along the way, slowly. But I love their leadership there with Coach Kerr, and I like it. I really do.
All right. Well, we will see what they do. We'll be watching that over the next couple months. Coming up on this show, you don't have to wait that long. We will be joined by all-star Heat forward Bam Adebayo. He is up for Most Improved Player of the Year, and he's a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it. Hang out.
Build different, dog. We build different. Keep going.
I ain't forgot.
They said I remember the talk. I'm getting bread, so it's what you thought. The way I'm headed, I'ma get to the top. Watch. Watch what I do next. Watch how I do this. I watch how they moving. I seen a lot, did a lot, I ain't forgot. Watch what I do next. Watch how I do this. I watch how they moving. I've seen a lot, did a lot, I ain't forgot.
Tomorrow, we'll have two Western Conference playoff game threes. We start with Rockets Thunder at 6 Eastern, 5 Central. And then over on ABC, the Lakers square off against the Blazers. Our coverage tips with us, The Jump, 5:30 Eastern. And like everything else, both games are available on the ESPN app. Our next guest here on The Jump is also playing tomorrow. Let's take a look.
Out of pocket. What a player. Punching it home.
Blocked by Adebayo. Bam, out of the bayou.
Adebayo flipping it up and in.
Stop it.
At 6'9", how does he do that?
Bam, out of the bayou.
And bam, Adebayo. What a finish. Dragic off the staggered screens. Adebayo up top.
Bam! We're still teaching our friend Kendrick Perkins how to say your last name. It is a work in progress. But, you know, since you made the All-Star game, it is a necessity. Welcome back to The Jump. It's always so much fun when you're with us here with Scottie Pippen and Chauncey Billups. And we loved hanging out with you in Chicago. You were a first-time All-Star this season. You're also a finalist now for the Most Improved Player Award, joining Brandon Ingram and Luka Doncic. What does it mean to you when they told you you were on that short list?
Just because, you know, everybody's just realizing how hard I work to improve my game and just be one of those top finalists. So, you know, it's a pleasure, and I'm just keep working.
Bam, how have you been able to prove so much from this, from last season? I mean, what's the secret?
I would have to say opportunity. Ooh. I got an opportunity to just be myself, and, you know, I got the minutes. I wasn't stuck in this short minute role, and, you know, coach has really emphasized just letting me go, and he's figured that out. He just lets me hoop now.
Bam. I wanted to ask you, how has Jimmy Butler's presence changed the Heat?
He's brought this, he can be himself, actually. If I want to be honest, he's just being himself, man. You can see that on both sides of the floor, you know. And it really put him in more of like a leadership role where he can get guys in certain situations and certain schemes. Like, he comes up to me sometimes and, you know, he'll call up a play for me because he know I has the high hand or anybody that has the high hand. And, you know, he's just been a great, great person on and off the court.
Jimmy said a few times, he said it again, a version of it last night. He said, I love that I can go curse someone else out. They can go curse me out. We all know it's just because we want to get better. And the fact that you as a young player haven't had your confidence shaken by that, but in fact have really fed into that and been energized by that is so impressive. I know your head coach, Eric Spoelstra, one of your biggest fans also, after game one of this series, he was asked about you playing well after a couple of down games in the bubble. And I want to play you, Bam, his response. Listen to this.
He's a winning player, and look, nobody was paying attention 3 years ago to how Bam was playing, and now everybody has an opinion on whether he needs to shoot it, where he needs to shoot it, how aggressive it needs to be. He's doing the right things for our team. That's the only thing that matters. Everybody else can just stick it up you know where. Because more people have opinions on how he needs to play, but he just continues to play how we need him to play as one of our all-stars and a winning player.
Bam, that was a lot, right? We don't hear him like that often.
Yeah.
When you heard that, yeah. What'd you say?
It's just the utmost respect we have for each other. And you start to realize how much we've come in contact and really talked to each other and got to know each other. So just for him to say that, he realized, like, when they drafted me, everybody thought I was just some random big that everybody was like, what are they doing drafting him? And now everybody has an opinion on when I should shoot or when I should be aggressive or when I should pass. So it's kind of like you get tired of hearing what everybody's opinion is if they didn't have an opinion about me in the beginning.
Yep.
Man, let me give you a little advice right there. Stop listening, Young Pump. Stop listening to him. But let me say this, man. I've been a big fan of you guys' team. I love that y'all play so unselfishly on both ends of the floor. Y'all floated a little bit under the radar all season. What are you guys' expectations throughout the playoffs this year?
We're trying to win. That's bottom line. You know, we're trying to build back this Miami Heat mold that we had when D-Wade and LeBron was here. So we're just trying to be one of those teams where when you play us, it's a headache. You hate to scout for it, and you hate to play against the Miami Heat.
Look, Bam, Jimmy told me that he thinks and you guys think that you can win the title this year, not be contenders or not be, you know, get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but actually win this year. Does that belief go through the whole team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it should. the way we've been playing, it should wake everybody else and make us realize, like, we have a chance.
Well, if things go chalk, the Bucks will see you next, and I know they are paying plenty of attention to you. Bam, always so fun. We'll talk to you in the next few rounds. Thanks for joining us. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to have Jay Billis join the show. He'll discuss the results of last night's draft lottery, who's the best player available, who should the Warriors go after. All that is next, right here on The Jump. Welcome to the 36th annual NBA Draft Lottery, and what an unusual one it is.
The third pick will be made by the Charlotte Hornets. The second pick goes to the Golden State Warriors. And that means that the number one pick in the 2020 NBA Draft goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The bar is set now, so we're excited to get it going.
Indeed, and we now welcome in our college basketball expert, Jay Billis. Jay has had a lot of me the last 24 hours, so I appreciate you still joining us here this afternoon. Jay, we had a lot of fun on our draft lottery show last night, and Minnesota is now on the clock. Last year, there was not a lot of suspense, right? Leading up to Zion Williamson going number one. This year, not as clear cut by any means. Jay, who do you think is the best player available in this draft?
It's close, but I think it's Anthony Edwards of Georgia. You know, he's 19 years old and just a spectacular athlete, and he's just wired to score. He can put the ball on the deck with either hand, and he can shoot from deep. I think the question with Edwards is his efficiency. You know, does he really know how to play yet? He's been really well coached by Tom Crean for a year, but he takes some bad shots. His shot selection was not good last year. He doesn't get to the free throw line enough, and then he needs to be a more engaged defender. I mean, he's not going to be a great player unless he plays at a high level at both ends of the court, and right now it's only one end.
It's funny. I hear you say he needs to be more engaged defender, and you're talking about a team that had Andrew Wiggins for a long time. Is it possible that something like that could scare them off and we would see more of a surprise pick at number one?
Yeah, it's possible. I think if you went surprise pick, I don't know that you'd say LaMelo Ball is necessarily a surprise, because he's in that top tier of players that are competing for the number one pick. But if you're looking for defense, you're not going to go with LaMelo Ball. He doesn't guard anybody either. And, you know, defense for him up till now has been just a rumor. And he's going to have to pick it up defensively, and he's going to have to shoot the ball better. But he's so creative offensively and such a fantastic passer with that positional size. He's really intriguing. I mean, Mike Schmidt says he's the best talent in this draft. And I certainly don't dispute that. But I think in today's game, if you're still questioning shooting, I don't know that you go number one.
Hey, Jay, Scottie Pippen here. I want to know who you think is the best fit for the Golden State Warriors.
Boy, Scottie, that's a really good question. I think picking at number two, if they decide not to trade that pick, I really like James Wiseman for them. Wiseman's 7 foot tall. He's kind of like Chris Bosh when he came out of Georgia Tech. Left-handed, he can block shots, he rebounds, can really run, mobile. And I think the big question is, can he be an NBA three-point shooter where he can really stretch a defense? And I think he's going to be capable of that. He still has to develop it. But the other guy that could go there at number two, even though not a lot of people are ranking him that high, is Isaac Okoro of Auburn, because he can really guard people. And, you know, in today's NBA, he can switch everything. The question with him is, he going to be able to shoot it? Really good passer, can get to the rim, good offensive rebounder, but he needs to be a more consistent perimeter shooter. I think he can develop that, but he's gonna have to do it if he's gonna be the second pick.
Hey, what's up, Jay? This is Chauncey, man. I'm sure you got a tee time coming up in the next 30 or 45 minutes, so I'm gonna get my question out the way. Give me a player outside of the top five that we all should be looking for.
Well, Chauncey, Aaron Nesmith of Vanderbilt is, you know, he scored about 22, 23 points a game last year, and he's a wing that can really score. Made, I think it was about 4 threes a game. Can catch it coming off screens, really deep range, and can really score. I think he'll go in the top 10, top 12. And the other guy I would say is Devin Vassell of Florida State. He's another guy that I think could go in the top 10 and really talented player and plays at both ends of the floor, plays really hard, can shoot it, drive it, very good skill level and very competitive. And maybe Sadiq Bey of Villanova also. He's probably going to go around 15 is my guess, but he's about as solid as they come.
Jay, I got to ask you before we go, will there be a college hoop season?
Scotty's son really wants there to be a college hoop season, Jay. He's at Vanderbilt.
Me too, and I want to watch him play. Yeah, I want to watch him play. And he's being coached by a terrific coach in Jerry Stackhouse. I think we're going to have basketball in college, but it's going to have to be in a bubble environment. I think they're going to have to set up after Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving, a bubble where they can have teams isolated and then isolate teams in their own conferences. And the NCAA is already talking about having a bubble environment for the NCAA tournament, maybe only 32 teams. I mean, it's going to be a season like we've never seen. But thankfully, the NBA is pulling off their bubble. And as a result, I think college basketball is going to learn a lot and be able to emulate that.
Yeah, it's a great template. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. It's been so much fun to spend time with you all week. Enjoy that tea time this afternoon, and we'll be back right at your door very soon. Thanks again. Up next, Paul George is taking shots.
I'm going to be racing Chauncey to the first tee.
Oh, that's fair. Fair. Up next, Paul George was taking shots at his critics on social media. How much pressure is on playoff P to perform in game 3? We're going to discuss that next. It's time for this week's Ultra Moment, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Tomorrow on ABC and the ESPN app, the top teams in the WNBA squaring off at 3 Eastern. Beyond Stewart and the 11-2 Storm, they're going to take on Asia Wilson and the 9-3 Aces. This is going to be good. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. The Bucks looking good yesterday against the Magic, them tying up the series, led by Giannis, who had a fantastic game, 28 points, 20 rebounds. So, Scotty, do you feel like the Bucks are back on track now after game 2, or would you still like to see them do a little bit more tightening up, if anything?
Well, I like to see them do a little bit more tightening up, but I think they're back on track. I think they got their swagger back. Giannis has to continue to play dominant basketball and be the creator for them. But I expect this Milwaukee team to win these next 3 games.
Yeah, we were a little surprised about that game 1 performance, but they just got caught sleepwalking. I mean, the Bucks will be just fine.
Hey, the Magic beat the Raptors in game 1 of the playoffs last year, and we saw how that turned out for Toronto. The undersized Rockets utilizing their active switching defense to perfection in yesterday's game. P.J. Tucker after the game said, "If we hold each other accountable and everyone does what they're supposed to do, our defense can be one of the best defenses in the NBA." Chauncey, I was just emailing with our producers how much I love this topic. I think there's so much to mine here. Do you buy that they can have this level of defense going forward?
I tell you what, defense is all about effort, heart, and intensity and communication. And I've been very, very impressed with the way that they're playing defense. I mean, extra efforts on every play, guys taking that one-on-one challenge. I don't know that they can be the best defensive team in the league, PJ. And you know I love you, you my young pup. But keep locking down, man. This team is really playing well, and I've been impressed. I've been very, very impressed.
I really like the Rockets' defense. To be honest with you, their offense is their best defense, and what they're able to do is force you to shoot inside, shoot two-point shot, they rush us off, they shoot three-point shots. So I like what they're doing on defense as long as they're making shots.
I mean, look, especially when you have a small ball or micro ball lineup, one of the things that could suffer is on the other side of the court, especially for a team that historically had not been so strong on defense. I think the turnaround with this team has been remarkable and is something to really note.
Oh, I think it's been great, you know, and we criticize Mike D'Antoni a lot. You got to give him a little bit of credit here.
Mm-hmm.
This team is playing great. The way that they play, they make you play isolation basketball because they switch everything. They throw your timing off. They throw your adjustments off, you know, second options, third options. They make you play ISO, which is the way they want to play.
Yes, they do.
Everybody doesn't have James and Russ. Most guys don't have that type of personnel, but they're playing well, man. I've been impressed.
Yeah, and at practice today, by the way, they said that Russell Westbrook was returning to doing some drills, but not with the team. So he wasn't working with the rest of the team yet, but doing conditioning and things like that. So we'll see where that goes. They might not need him in this series. We will find out. Of course, I'm not counting Chris Paul out for anything, right?
So Absolutely not.
Yeah. Until he leaves the floor for the final time, that's it. But we'll see. All right, let's get to the Jazz. Mike Conley has cleared quarantine. Remember, he left for the birth of his child. He will start game 3 against Denver today. Conley returned to Orlando on Monday. Now, in his absence, Donovan Mitchell has performed very well at point guard. So, Scotty, do you think point guard is actually Donovan's best position?
I really don't. You know, after seeing them lose game 1, you know, even though he had a great game, 57 points, offensively he was very efficient. But I feel like in game 2, he learned from game 1. He pulled his offense a little bit back and was more serving them more down the stretch of the game, which he needs to be more effective offensively. So I like them bringing someone else in at that point guard position and taking him off the ball where the defense is just not looking at him the whole time like they did in game 1 when he had those 57 points and was unsuccessful in the win.
Right.
Yeah, I got to disagree with Scotty on this one. I think in today's game, and you see what Donovan Mitchell's been doing from the point guard spot, first and foremost, their team is better when he's at the point. He's able to facilitate. He can go get buckets at any time. He and Rudy are really good in that pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so explosive, you know, at the spot. He can, you know, most players, when you had a ball in your hand, you just feel more comfortable when it's time to take it over. And I think we see that a ton with Donovan Mitchell. You can tell in his play, his usage is up when he has the ball in his hands. He's playing point guard. In today's game, I mean, he can be great at both positions. He's that kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Utah Jazz are just better when he has the ball in his hands.
I mean, all of it, right, is just trying to make up for Bogdanovich not being there and all of the issues they've had. So we'll see where they go from here. All right, now for this week's Ultra Moment, brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Turner, shot clock at 2, and he throws it away, and Butler's got another steal and slam. Boy, Murray feeling good offensively, this time defers to Jokic.
What a reaction between those two young stars. Jokic and Murray, emotional.
Lillard, long three is up and in. Damian Lillard, just massive range. That's right, Dame time.
Blow the whistle, baby. Let's shift gears to playoff P. Paul George struggling in game 2, shooting 4-for-17 from the field, 2-for-10 from deep. In the loss, George was subjected to the roasting of NBA Twitter. He hit back at his critics who called him out for his struggles with this IG post. IDGAF, if you don't know what that means, I'm not going to tell you. You have the internet. What anybody thinks about me, expletive is you thinking about me anyway. So, Scotty, the fact that he posted that means he obviously hears the noise around him. How much pressure is on Paul George to step up for the Clippers in their next game, game 3?
I think that means he does give, but whatever else it means. I think it's a lot of pressure on him. And I don't think it's really about him stepping up offensively and delivering for them offensively. I think defensively he hasn't showed up. I think Luka Doncic has dominated this series. He's big ball him. And they have to have some kind of answer for him. I think if he's able to contain this kid, because he's so focused on Lucas right now, that his offense is gone south. He has to get it going on the defensive end. I'm not worried about his offense.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we can't be blinded by one game. You know, as somebody, I watch this, obviously, this team every single night. And Paul's been great. I mean, game one against Dallas, he was unstoppable. He hit the go-ahead shot, you know, to win it and went to work in the fourth quarter. What happened in game two, and you know this very well, Scotty, I know I hated it. When you get in early foul trouble, you pick up those three fouls in that first half, first quarter, it takes away your aggressiveness. You know, offensively and defensively. Offensively, you're worried about pushing off. He likes to step back. You're worrying about a dude taking a charge on you. Defensively, he's active hands. He modeled his defensive game after you, so he's trying to, you know, impact the ball. You can't reach. It takes away your – and then now when you get back in the game, you start pressing, and you start trying to have an impact on the game. And that's what happened to him. I think game two was an anomaly, but – this Clippers team is much better when he's aggressive defensively, like Scotty said, and offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has it all. So I don't put too much stock into it. I'm surprised that Paul was actually responding to those
naysayers. I mean, he had a great performances in the seeding games. I know that he was on some of those lists, so we'll see how he moves. I want to move on to Joel Embiid. Embiid has been hot in the first quarter of games 1 and 2 versus the Celtics, averaging 13 points per game, which is tops in the NBA currently in these playoffs. But if you look at the graphic, there's a steep drop, guys, in his production as the game goes on, as well as his touches later in the game. So, Chauncey, we're talking about this a little bit in the break, about a big man trying to bring a team home during the playoffs. Why has Embiid slowed down after the first quarter in this first round against the Celtics?
Well, obviously, they make it a point to go to him early on. And I think the low-hanging fruit from everybody in the world would be that he maybe slows down because of his conditioning, but I'm not going there. I think that Boston has done a good job of taking the ball out of his hands, you know, and double teaming him and making sure that as soon as he catches it, he has to get off of it, and they don't let him play. So that's where I'm going. That's why his impact in the last three quarters hadn't been as great as the first quarter. So I'll keep watching and see if that my mind changes, but that's what I believe.
You know what? He's a big man. It's very hard for us to point the finger at a big guy. You know, he's expecting someone to bring the food to him and for him to deliver. So to say that he is the problem of why they're not being successful in this series is being wrong. They need another star on the basketball court. Right. It can't be your center.
I love that analogy. Amazing. Thank you, Scotty and Chauncey. The Jump will be back with two pregame shows tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.